welcome to season three of Goals Do Come True. We're going to be delving into the work optional lifestyle financial plan. Essentially, there are people out there in the world where work is optional for them. So we're going to delve into the tips and tricks on how these inspiring guests achieve that. So stay tuned for season three of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett, the goals guy. I look forward to helping you make work optional. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the goals guy. Today, I am joined by Guy Raymond. This season three of Goals Do Come True, I'm going to be trying to grab some people that work is optional for them, because I've created the Work Optional Lifestyle Financial Plan, and it's a program for people that probably got enough money but don't realize that they've got enough money to live the rest of their lives without fear of running out. But what I wanted to do is delve into the minds of people that actually are in that position and what they do after they've had a reasonable amount of success, normally at a relatively young age. And we say relative because obviously all the guys on TikTok and all the rest of it all making massive success at 22 years of age and want to coach us in how to do things. But Guy is a seasoned professional. He started as a manager at PC World way back when. And over time, he's built up businesses. He sold one business to Walt Disney, which was Walt Disney's subsidiary, I think. And now he's running a couple of businesses. He's also does some charity work as well. That's another thing. How the heck do you fit all of this stuff in? But Guy, over to you. Share with us a little bit about your backstory that I haven't managed to cover there. Why you carry on working, and if you can weave goals into there a little bit, that would be absolutely awesome.
Okay, sure. Thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. You were almost right with your introduction. So I actually started, this is the speed dating version that I'll go to now. So I started work actually in 1986. So I left school at 17/18, managed to get myself onto the training manager scheme for Sainsbury's, and worked quite happily selling apples and oranges on there and managing various bits of their stores, eventually ending up as a deputy store manager after about 11 years. So no meteoric rise to fame, and worked hard, enjoyed what I did, and got there in the end. In that, when was it? 1997, that would have been. I was not looking for a job, but I saw an advert in the newspaper back in the days when there were newspapers, and it was for an electrical superstore. Now, I've always been a bit of a closet geek, and that kind of appealed to me, that the shiny electrical gadgety type thing. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go for this and see what happens. Anyway, I got the job and became a retail manager within the Dixon Stores Group, which PC World and Currys, and obviously back in the day, then Dixon's were part of that group. And I did that for 18 months and loved it. And it was a lot more salesy. So Sainsbury's was more operational and man management and 350 people in the store. And that gave me a really fundamental understanding of how to manage people from all walks of life. You're managing anyone from the evening shift ladies all the way through to actually managing upwards to your store manager sometimes. So it gave me a really good understanding of people. And that honestly helped me throughout my career. And by the way, I know you're all about goals. I've never had goals and I've never had a plan in my life. So what I have done and what I have been good at is seeing opportunities and just going for it and taking a, if you pardon the expression, just fuck it, just do it kind of attitude. That happened with PC World, joined them. And then I met a couple of young guys that were looking, their father was a successful car dealer, and they were looking to follow in the dad's footsteps, but wanted to do it on the internet. And on the basis that I knew a little bit more about the internet than they did, literally a little bit, I got chatting to them and we set up a company called Netcars, and we did that. Well, I did that for 18 months for various reasons, but some of them personal actually. I decided to set a business up on my own. Now, this is probably the worst possible time. We just literally just moved house and had one of my two kids where Sasha was born at that point, and so very young. So quite a risky transition, but I took one of the guys with me called Rob Harrop, who was, we took him on for sales actually within Netcars, and he did well at that. But he was also, it became apparent, a very talented, naturally talented software engineer who did that kind of stuff for fun in his spare time. And actually, Rob is still one of the, if not the most naturally talented software engineer I've ever come across, having been in that industry for 25 years now. Very smart guy. So we set this business up called Cake Solutions. Didn't really have a plan, but when we set up in Holdsworth Mill in Reddish in Stockport, and it was a business and arts center. And we essentially, I just went around. He was the tech part of the business. I was the commercial part of the business. I had no idea what I was doing. And I made probably all the mistakes that you typically make, and maybe even more. But ultimately, the first 2 years of the business, I knocked on every door in that mill, and there was about 50 businesses, and we won the first 2 years of our Kate was servicing the businesses within the mill. I then struggled somewhat to get the message out. I had no idea about marketing, but we got by, almost went bust a couple of times along that journey, a couple of weeks away. One of them was a particularly disastrous period. It would have rendered me bankrupt personally. I would have lost my house and everything. But we pulled it round. We managed to win a piece of business that then gave us a platform then to continue to build the business. And actually from, I started the business in 2001, but in 2010, we made a technical decision to pivot to a new technology that was an up and coming technology. Been around for 10 years, but as an academic programming language, but was beginning to gain traction and was beginning to get some commercial entities behind it that made it easier to engineer in that. And it was eminently suitable for scale, high throughput, high data throughput, many concurrent users type systems. It was in the days of things like Ticketmaster when, I'm sure you remember this, Doug, when Robbie Williams did Nebworth, and you'd go on to Ticketmaster and within 3 seconds, the whole thing had crashed.
Yeah.
And you then spent the next 5 or 6 hours waiting for it to come back again and trying to get in there to get the tickets. And it was just a complete pain. The technologies that we began to specialize in began to solve those kind of problems. So it allowed companies like Ticketmaster to scale at very busy periods. So if you put an advert on in the middle of Coronation Street, you saw a spike in demand. We could cope with that, whereas perhaps the early internet system couldn't. So anyway, so that was really where we went. And we developed it from there. We started working with some really big companies. Every deal we were getting was 7-figure type deals. And we grew the company rapidly over a 6-year period. Every parameter was 10 times, and many parameters were many more than 10 times. And in 2016, we took on a company as a client called Bamtech. And what we didn't realize was they being in Disney had invested in them. They were a media stream company. They streamed all the major sports in the US, basketball, MLS, soccer, American football, ice hockey. They streamed everything. They were the very first company to stream a sporting, live sporting event over the internet in the days of the 33.3 baud modems, the dial-up stuff.
Wow.
So you can imagine the quality was dreadful. So anyway, long story short, they made us an offer in 2017. I wasn't looking to sell, but it was a bloody good offer. And they were a great company. And we agreed to sell. At that point, they were owned a third by Disney. They were $3.5 billion organization valued. And actually, unbeknownst to us, when we were being acquired by them, Disney were fully acquiring them. 2 weeks after we were bought, Disney then bought these guys. And we became part of one of three companies, so Bamtech, Cake, and a company called The Capitals out of the Netherlands, a front-end design company, engineering company, and we formed Disney Streaming Services. And a little-known fact is that a decent portion of Disney Plus is built in Manchester and London, which is the old Cake teams. And that still happens. Yeah, very cool. Really, since then, I did the typical, I had to do my earn out for a couple of years, 18 months, and then I did another couple of months, so 20 months in total. And I am an entrepreneur. I'm not a corporate guy. I was never going to stay in any kind of corporate environment and thrive because I need to make decisions quickly. I want to try things and fail. And the corporate world isn't as good at doing that kind of thing as the entrepreneurial world. I left and took some time out and then came back fighting and invested in a number of companies, still work with those companies, sit on the board,
driving through the sort of high growth stage, helping them wherever I can with those badges and scars. And I set up another couple of companies as well. So of my own, I own a company called Aterna, which is, it's a company in the US that helps small and medium-sized law firms offer estate planning services online. That's one company. And then another company is called EHT. It's EHT Group. Within that group, we have EHT Ventures. EHT stands for Entrepreneurs Help Entrepreneurs. And effectively, we try and help companies attain either seed funding or seed plus stroke early stage funding for high growth. But we do it in a quite an entrepreneurial way. So we pride ourselves on planting our flag in the entrepreneur side of the investment world, because investors invest for a living. They know all the tricks. They know how to play the game. There's some great investors out there, but there's also some investors that will have your pants down at the earliest opportunity. You need to be aware of that world. So we try and educate, and we educate on two fronts. We educate on being prepared, i.e. your shop window, for going in front of investors, because most entrepreneurs have no idea. They effectively rock up with a pitch deck that is a sales brochure. It doesn't explain what's in it for the investors. And so we try and educate to make sure that those entrepreneurs and those high growth companies and startups have the pitch deck that gives them the best possible opportunity of getting investment. We also educate in terms of through podcasts like the one I'm doing with you. We have our own podcast, Fast Growth Through Funding, through the EHE Group and EHE Ventures. And we do educational pieces across that try and help entrepreneurs understand the investment world. But equally, from the investment side, what we try and do then is we try and match relevant investors with the entrepreneurs. So what the investors get out of this is they get some highly prepared, highly filtered opportunities put in front of them, because they get, just like we do, we've had, I don't know, 450 decks in over the last 9 months that we've filtered down to 18 that we think worth pursuing. The investors, we save the investors a lot of work. And I think hopefully with our track record, my business partner from Gary Fletcher is from the leisure industry, three successful exits behind him, 9 bigger sums. And so again, a proper entrepreneur. And the team is predominantly made up of people that are either exited entrepreneurs or are operators from the entrepreneurial world. And we do have a little bit of corporate support in there as well. And the last bit of the story before I shut up and allow you to ask a question and I can draw a breath and have a sip of my coffee is we're currently, literally in the last couple of weeks, started talking to privately wealthy individuals, family and PEs and VCs that invest in funds. We're raising a fund ourselves. It is different from the many funds that are out there. And it's different because of the platform we've built and our ability to draw in hundreds of potential opportunities, but also filter those down to some really terrific opportunities for investors. I think our background allows us to form a sensible opinion on what represents good opportunities. And we also have chartered accountants in our midst who work both in the corporate world and in the startup world. So again, they make sure that all the opportunities that we come across that we try and help have sensible financial forecasts, which is often not the case, and sensible valuations, of course. So, so that's, I don't know what that was, a 10 minute speed dating version of what I've done, where I am now, and where we're heading in the future.
I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode to tell you more about the Work Optional Lifestyle Financial Plan that I arrange for my clients in DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. From the title, you can see that it is all about making work optional. There are essentially three types of people: people that don't have enough money, people that have enough money but don't know that they've got enough money, and people that have got too much money. It's that middle group that I'm directing this at. People that have enough money but don't know that they've got enough money. This is where I can make the biggest difference to people's lives. Because if you know when you have enough money to live the rest of your life without fear of it ever running out, it brings a calmness to your situation. So, if you'd like to find out if you've got enough money, then go over to my website, www.dbwpp.co.uk, and click on the link about lifestyle financial planning. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
The interesting thing is you don't do goals. That's like a little bit mind-blowing because obviously this is the Goals Do Come True podcast. However, as I say, season 3 is about what people do after. But how do you think? I like the fact that you just take a risk. You see something, you see an opportunity and you take it. And sometimes if you wait too long on these things, they disappear and move past. So do you work on gut feel in that respect, or is there an awful lot of research, or has there been a lot of research in some of the stuff that you do, or is there a bit of gut feel in it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm highly dyslexic and I've got the attention span of a goldfish. So what I need and what I'm good at and my unique ability, so I do a coaching program called Strategic Coach, which I think you're aware of, Doug, and they have a concept in there, which is called unique ability. And I had 8 hours with a lovely lady called Julia Waller in Toronto, who absolutely grilled me for 8 hours with questions. I went through a process and came up with a statement that described my unique ability. And in a nutshell, what it turns out I'm good at, and these, you probably know these things, but sometimes they're not front and center of your mind, and they need to be, because if you understand what you're good at, by definition, you understand what you're not as good at and what you don't enjoy as much and where you need to hire people. My ability, unique ability, is effectively hiring uniquely talented teams that do everything I'm not good at. So this is a roundabout way of answering your questions. I'm hopeless at doing the detail and I'd be hopeless at putting spreadsheets together to give me the financial information that I need, because I don't have the patience or the inclination, if I'm honest, to do that kind of things. But what I am good at is hiring the right people around me. So there's a chap called Elliot Smith who works across a number of different businesses. He's my own personal FD, and he does his own stuff as well. So he's a fractional fellow who has tons of startup experience. Mm-hmm. He understands that world, but he also understands me. And he makes sure that he puts in front of me the relevant financial information. And the other thing I don't ever want is people. I want people who are going to tell me I'm being an idiot and allow me to then make the decision as to what I want to do, whether I listen to them. And listen, 9 times out of 10, probably 19 times out of 20, I listen to the people around me. Occasionally, I go with my gut feel and I will go, do you know what? I understand what you're saying and I appreciate the advice. However, my gut feel on this one is that you should just do it. And you live or die by your sword at that point, don't you?
Absolutely.
But I think a business is all about, first and foremost, the team that you have. Because without a good team, you can have the best idea in the world and it won't happen. So you need to surround yourself with the right people and hire the right people at the right time. With any startup, you are a jack of all trades. You just have to be, because you have to do everything, right? But as soon as you are able, as you're building the company, either you're starting to generate income or you manage to get some investment, then you really need to hire the right people around you. And that will allow you then to bring your vision to reality. So that's what I aim to do with the two companies that are my own companies that I'm building and all the companies that I'm working with.
Well, work was probably optional for you then.
Yeah, it definitely
when you
was.
Sold, you know, yeah. You took some time out, you worked through your period, which invariably there is a period that you have to get involved in. And then it's okay. Now what? No, I'll just set up a couple of companies. I'll do some more charity work, because you do stuff with Variety, I believe.
I do.
And then it's a case of I've got to keep on going, even though I probably could call it a day. What drives you to do that?
Again, just to be clear, when I came out of Disney Streaming Services, I didn't really have a plan. I just knew I needed to take some time off. I'd worked really hard for 20 years, like really hard. And I did some nice stuff for a year with friends and family, and it was brilliant. But all that time I was beginning to, it's funny, existed entrepreneurs will relate to this. You start to get phone calls as soon as people understand that you're not you're not working in the business that you built and sold. And I didn't expect it. I didn't even think about it. People just started calling me. And that's how I got involved with those people. Sorry, Doug, I lost my train of thought. What was your question?
It was, why did you carry on? Why did you carry on working when you probably could have called it?
Yeah, I think I've always worked really hard all my life, and I do what I do. I really enjoy it. I try and make sure I do have enough time for friends and family. And I think I'm okay at that. I'm not perfect at it. I think my wife will probably tell you that. She has to remind
She's
me.
She's on next week.
Time to time. It's fine. Is she? Oh dear. I'm in trouble now. The truth will come. He's an idiot.
He's a nice one, and he's a capable one. He doesn't take instruction very well.
Yeah. The reality is I have taken on a little bit more than I intended to. But it does get me up every morning, and it does keep me probably busier now than I've ever been in my life. But Dan Sullivan, who runs the Strategic Coach course, once said, and it's always stuck with me this, I probably said this a decade plus ago when I started Strategic Coach. Retiring is giving your body permission to shut down. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. There's so many stats that tell you that when people, they work really hard all their lives and with the sole aim of getting to retirement so they can then go and breathe. And they have this vision of being sat on the beach with a pina colada and just doing good stuff. And there is so much evidence to suggest that people who do that, actually, they lose their purpose in life at that point. And it isn't exactly what they thought it was going to be. So I've always been of the opinion that I want to try and keep myself and healthy. I keep a close eye on the longevity world. I do comprehensive annual health checks. I try and stay ahead of that kind of thing. I'm not perfect, right? I probably drink a little bit too much.
And what's wrong with that exactly?
No, exactly. Yeah. You probably eat the wrong foods, but I get checked and actually all my stats are pointing in the right direction. So I'm doing okay. That's really, really important to me. But I also believe that you've got to have a purpose. And my purpose in life now is simple, is to do my little bit in the world that within my own businesses where people are treated fairly and paid reasonably well. But ultimately a part of a journey that is an exciting journey that they will enjoy. Yes. If they're not going to enjoy it, they're not going to be working for me for very long. But most of the people working for me, I've known for an awful long time. And we all get on really well with friends as well as colleagues. And they've bought into what we're trying to do as a company. If I can help people make a success of their lives, I want to keep continuing to make a difference and help small businesses grow into big businesses. And for those people working in those businesses, ultimately to do really well. Every business I work with is not a lifestyle business. It's a high growth company with a view to an exit.
That would be your market. So you're looking for the high flyers with exit plans, not lifestyle.
Yes.
Businesses. I hear that. Now, the work optional lifestyle financial plan, the purpose of it is for people to know when work is optional. So that they know that they've created enough wealth and income streams and stuff. That work is now optional. Because I find many entrepreneurs, it's like yourself, I'll take a year off. And for most, that's pushing it.
They've done
30 years of fast-paced stuff or 20 years or 35 years or whatever it is. And it's got into a bit of a habit. But knowing that if it doesn't work out or whatever, that you're okay, takes a bit of the stress out, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think going back to building your team for your business, I actually think you need to build a team for your personal life as well. And I've mentioned Elliot Smith, I've worked with for many years. He was a fractional CFO for The Cake. And he works across, I think, 5 or 6 businesses that I work in now, as well as advising me from a personal viewpoint. And then heavily linked to that, I have an IFA who also looks after me from an investment side. I have to go to him and ask for pocket money now and then so I can make investments. And so I think having the right team around you from a personal point of view, when you're exited, programs like yours, Doug, and people like yourself would absolutely fit that criteria. It's just as important. And again, people like me are always going to take risks. We're always going to push things to the edge. And I've just got to be careful that I don't take too much on from a personal point of view, but also commit financially too much to these endeavors, I don't want to start at square one again. I want to have something there for the future. But I'm always going to push things to the edge, and I need people to just bring me back from the brink sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is, but then the other thing is, it's like that there's a transition. If there is an exit and you do decide, and I'm totally with you with people that stop working, stop living and accelerate the process to dying, sadly, because what's the point? All of a sudden, what's the point? Where is your driver? What is going to get you up in the morning? I see that sort of thing. But there is a transition thing. There's a massive psychological part involved in retirement, for example, for some people that choose to go that route, because it is very easy just to call it a day. But I think knowing when that day comes and then having something, transitioning into it and filling the period afterwards, even if it is work, you know, the number of people that I know that were in a business, they sold it and, or they were in a position where there was an income level and then they've got maybe a retirement pension income. And then all of a sudden they're out in the world still, even though they've got the pension, making more money than they were in the job that created the pension previously, which is the mad thing. So there are so many opportunities out there. And I think very often people are afraid to take the risks that you mentioned.
I agree. I don't think people have to take the level of risk that I take. I am not typical in that regard. I take more risks than most. I always have been throughout my life and probably always will be, because I thrive on that. But I agree with you. People who have got experience have value in the marketplace, tremendous value in my view. And I see it with some of my friends where one of the guys I know is in the rail industry, and he's always been approached by companies in Australia and stuff like that, because he's built stuff in the UK and been involved in stuff in the UK that's got real value over there, for example, and he can consult. And doesn't mean to say he has to move over there, by the way, because of wonderful mechanisms like Zoom and Teams and everything else, that you don't have to be in that place to still add significant value. And travel is quite easy nowadays, so you can travel a few times a year. It's like me running my business in the US. I go over every quarter, I sit down with the team for a few days, and I meet them all face to face, and we strategize and we come up with plans, and then spend the next quarter kind of rolling those out. All that kind of thing is doable. Different opportunities appeal to different people, but going back to spotting the opportunity, you've got to have the balls to say, do you know what? I'm done with this part of my life, but I'm not done. And what do I want to do next? What are my goals? And what do I want to achieve personally as well as professionally? And then you'd be amazed at how many companies value your experience and are prepared to pay for that experience. And as a contractor or a part-time employee or whatever it is, you will earn as much, if not more, than you weren't before.
Yeah. Yes. And you used the term fractional earlier for your financial guy. And just to explain to people, fractional means that the whole of their job is spread across 5-8 different companies, which is where the term fractional comes from. It may sound obvious, but then to some people, it's because you can spend a little bit of time thinking about these things and missing out on the rest of the stuff.
Fractional has real value for companies who can't afford a full-time person with your kind of experience. So there's massive value for companies that are hiring fractional people that they would not ordinarily be able to afford or need full-time. But also, if you are doing some fractional work yourself, you're in control. You don't have to work full-time. You might want to take 2 or 3 of those positions on where you're working one day a week, and that allows you to take 4 or 5 days off a week, but still retain a decent income. So there's value on both sides. Fractional has become a thing over the last few years. It was called part-time before. It's always been around.
Fractional sounds so much sexier, though, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? It's a great word. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But yeah, it's been around a long time, and there's real merit for companies and individuals to do that kind of work.
Now, I like to keep my podcast succinct. So I'm going to ask you I know you're not a goal setter, so this is going to be tough for you, but I want a golden nugget for people if you can weave some goals and goal setting into it, that would be cool, but you don't have to because it's not your gig. But something that the world needs to know, according to Guy.
Listen, I mean, I am going to give you a goal, and let's call it a ballsy goal. So I go to a conference every year, which I absolutely love. It's probably my favorite 3 or 4 days of the year from a work point of view, because it's a proper geek fest. It's a technology conference that looks ahead at how technology is going to affect the world over the next 5 to 10 years. So it gives you the ability to look into the future. There's no point looking past 5 or 10 years because the technology is changing so quickly. You've seen it in the last year with the, since ChatGPT has been introduced, how big an effect that's had on people's thinking, psyche, as well as ability to be more efficient. And honestly, the AI is already changing our lives, even though we don't know it behind the scenes, and it's increasingly going to change our lives. So you need to be ahead of that curve. Well, I do in the stuff that I do. So I go to this conference and they have this thing called an MTP, which is called a massively transformative purpose. And they ask you to come up with a really ambitious target to fulfill during your lifetime. And we're all going to live longer, Doug. If me and you can manage to live over the next 10 years, we've got a good chance to live in well over 100, maybe up to 120, because health tech is changing so fundamentally at the moment. So just hang in there and we'll be good. My MTP is to, through the companies I'm working with and helping to transform, to affect the lives of 1 billion people on the planet.
Wow.
That's my MTP.
That's about 15% of the population. Very rough.
Yeah. Through the companies I'm working with, Cake, work with big companies like, I don't know, Weight Watchers, McLaren, obviously Disney. And by working with them, they affect the lives of millions of people, right? So it's not an unrealistic target, but it is a ambitious target without a doubt. So let's just see. But that is my MTP, my massively transformative purpose.
I love that. Massively transformative purpose.
And if you want to find out more about that, just Google Abundance 360, Peter Diamandis, and Massively Transformative Purpose, MTP, and you'll find plenty out there on that subject.
We'll make sure that's contained in the show notes so that people can just click and go. Guy, it's been a pleasure hearing your journey, where your thoughts are, and the fact that you don't need goals. You just need to be a bit ballsy, right? Take the risk where necessary.
People do need goals. And I probably am being a tad, I don't know.
Dry. Let's go with dry.
Yeah, I do have goals. They're probably not as specific as most people's goals. They're a bit more high level.
Yeah. No, fair enough. That's good, because this is the first episode for my third season. I wouldn't want to squash it. But
listen, I'm honored that I'm headlining the first one of the new season, so thank you for that.
No, and it's been a pleasure. And there's some seriously good insights in there for people listening. Be ballsy. Do have some goals, even if they're at high level. Okay. Surround
spot
yourself.
The opportunities.
Yeah, spot the opportunity. Surround yourself with seriously good people and look out for those. Check into Abundance 360, check out Strategic Coach, and then your massive
transformative purpose, MTP.
Get one of those, people, and you can't go far wrong. Guy, thank you very much for joining me.
I've enjoyed the conversation. Thank you. Cheers, Doug.
Thank you for joining me in the third series of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. I hope you're enjoying this series so far. The most important thing that you can do for me to help spread the word about goals and goal setting is to like the episode, share the podcast with your friends, and write us a review. If you're able to do any one of those things, or even all three, I would be greatly appreciative. Also, why not send me a little note to tell me how you're getting on? Just email me, doug@dougbennett.co.uk, just to let me know how you're getting on, how much you're enjoying the podcasts,
And if there are any other subjects that you would be interested in me delving into the future. So don't forget, subscribe, review, and share with your friends. Just remember, goals do come true.